Our times are fraught with uncertainty. From the tenuous global economy to the battle against a viral flu to the social unrest that divides our world, we live in volatile times. Gratefully, the New Testament book of 1 John has brought a fresh wind of reality and confidence into our lives. And today on Insight for Living, we'll hear a portion of the final message in Chuck Swindoll's 16-part series called Living Right in a Wrong World, concluding on Monday. We're looking at 1 John chapter 5. Chuck titled his message, Absolute Assurance.
For a few brief moments, may we pray together. On this significant day in our nation, our Father, we thank you for the privilege of prayer, for the joy that accompanies knowing we may speak openly and freely to you, our Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your only Son, our Lord, in whom we live and move and have our being, in whom is the way, the truth, and the life. In light of what we have heard, we pray for those in uniform today who love this country, who serve this country with courage and distinction. Protect them in dangerous places. Use their efforts for the purpose of righteousness. And we pray, Father, that good will come from the difficulty of these days. May they be honored, may they be protected, may they return to the open arms of their loved ones, their spouses, and their children. Thank you also, our Father, for the gospel, that knowing Christ can set us free, and then finding ourselves at the foot of the cross for the rest of our lives, we can have a perspective for living that is marked by servant-hearted leadership, courage to speak the truth, and faithful service for his greater cause. To this end, our Father, we give our gifts today, full of gratitude and with generosity. Accept our gifts in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And everyone said, Amen.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To search the Scriptures with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures studies by going to insightworld.org/studies. And now the message called Absolute Assurance.
Open your Bible to John chapter 20 and verse 31, and you will see the reason he wrote the gospel. You'll notice, first of all, for whom it was written. Let me begin at verse 30. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book, but these have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. To whom did he write the letter? To those who were lost. He wrote the letter for those who were seeking evidence, hard, rock-solid evidence, even miraculous signs that prove he wasn't just another man, but in fact had come from God and was in fact God. These are written that you may believe. The purpose for writing is that the reader who is searching for that evidence will find it in these seven miracles in the gospel, and finding those, coming to terms with those, he or she will trust in the one who performed them. And as a result, will have life in his name. When you get to the letter of 1 John, chapter 5, verse 13, you notice a contrast. This letter is not written to those who are lost, but to those who have already believed. Look at 13. These things I have written to you who believe. Not who have yet to believe, but who now believe. You who have been walking with Christ, you who have trusted in Jesus as your own master. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. And why, John? Why have you written that? Since we already believe. So that you may know. And the desire of the writer, John, is that you not only believe it, but you live it. And as a result, you have confidence in it. In fact, there are 8 bold statements of confidence in these verses. If you have your pen ready, let me give you words to underscore. Verse 13, these things I have written to you who believe so that you may know. K-N-O-W, underscore it. Next verse. This is the confidence which we have in him. Underscore confidence. There's assurance in the word that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Verse 15. And if we know, underscore it, that he hears us in whatever we ask. We know, underscore it. Already 4 times in a few verses. Down in verse 18, it appears again. We know. Verse 19, we know. Verse 20, and we know that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may, the 8th time, know. I weary of the cynic who sees a Christian who knows his way in life viewing that as arrogance or bigotry. Neither is true. Arrogance and bigotry come from pride. They are sinful. Confidence is not sinful. It has a very practical purpose in life. We long to be around people, not who are arrogant, but who are confident. This world needs Christians who know what they believe. We're not arrogant about it. Hopefully, we're gracious. Hopefully, we're still learning. The arrogant person is unteachable. The confident person knows areas and knows what he doesn't know or what she doesn't know. John writes that we might know with assurance about these 8 things. And we find them right here in this section of Scripture. Look at your Bible. First, we can know we have eternal life. You can actually know it. Verse 13. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. You can know by faith in the Son of God that you have eternal life. That isn't arrogant. That's confidence. The second thing we can know has to do with prayer, 14 to 17. Look at this. Love the verse. This is the confidence. Isn't that great? This is the confidence which we have before him. What? That if we ask, what's the word? Anything. But don't stop reading there. We're in the middle of the sentence. That's a half verse, and you're always in dangerous territory when you come to half verses. Cults are full of them. False teachers love them. Let's not use a half verse. This is the confidence which we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, that instantly moves this from the convenient device of imposing our will on God or bending his will to our wish. According to your will, O God, I pray this. Sound familiar? Of course it does. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, O Father, I pray that the cup will pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. The Father's answer is no. My will is the cross. Go there. Never promise someone they will be healed. Repeat. Never promise anyone they will be healed. You don't know if that's the Father's will. Had I been living in the first century and a close friend of Paul, and he told me of the thorn in the flesh he was living with, I would have said to him, I want you to know God's going to heal you of that thorn in the flesh, because you can do better work if you don't have that thorn in the flesh. And I'm going to claim God's deliverance of that thorn in your life. Paul would have later said to me, you know what? You're way out of line. I prayed 3 times, and the Father has said no once, no twice, no 3 times. So the message is, my strength, God's strength, is perfected in your weakness. When you are weak, I am strong. Relax. Live with the thorn. It may not seem fair or right to you, but last time I checked, no one died and left you here as God or me. So let's be careful about making God's statements to people. He will do this, or you are going to have this happen. You don't know that. You have no confidence in that. What you can say is, I will join you in praying, and we will both ask for the Father's will. And I'm going to pray that you'll have the assurance, when it is His will, that that's what He would have you do. Now, that's a prayer worth promising. Remember, it can be yes, it can be no, it can be wait. Now, look at the next 2 verses. If anyone sees his brother committing a sin not leading to death, he shall ask, and God will for him give life to those who commit sin not leading to death. There is a sin leading to death. I do not say that he should make request for this. All unrighteousness is sin, and there is a sin not leading to death. I do not have a clue what that means. So, please don't email me. Don't send me a letter from God that has given you the insight. That is one of the conundrums of the Scriptures. I felt guilty admitting to myself in my study after poring over 16 and 17 that I couldn't figure it out. Then I came across the words of a scholar named Kenneth Wiest. Listen to Dr. Wiest's words regarding the 2 verses. The present writer confesses his utter inability to understand this verse. Later he says, the rest of the verse is an enigma to him, and he will not attempt to offer even a suggestion as to its possible interpretation. Love guys like that. Thank you. He's gone now, but he now knows what the verse means. But back then, he didn't know. I don't know. Chances are good you don't know. It's a tough section. So let's go to verse 18. Let's go to what we can know, huh? We know that no one who is born of God sins. This is about the spiritual life. And you read it, your brakes turn on in your mind. Wait a minute, I know God and I sin. Wait, you got to deal with this kind of thing. The tense of the word sin is a tense that suggests habitually going on, virtually without a break, constantly as a lifestyle. We know that no one who is born of God lives a life like that. It doesn't mean we never slip into acts of sin. It means we do not persist in sin. I want to be careful how I say this, lest it sound arrogant and not confident. I believe you can know with a fair amount of assurance that if a person's lifestyle, start to finish, dawn to dark, day after day, week after week, month after month, is evil, that person is not a believer. I don't care what they try to tell you. Because this verse says that sin continually going on and a child of God are incompatible. Can't a Christian be carnal? We're not talking about carnal Christians here. Of course we can. I have been and you have been. Truth be told, you may be right at this moment. You may be walking against the will of God, and you know it, and you're miserable, but it doesn't mean your entire life is spent against the will of God. One who is evil spends his life like that. Plans evil, finds delight in evil, does evil, his life as a life of sin. That person does not know the living God. Those who do know the Lord have periodic times where righteousness comes, or a life of righteousness occurs, or a commitment to pray, or a desire to serve Christ, or a willingness to sacrifice. But the one who is born of God does not live a life of habitual sin. But, watch closely, this is a sad part of the verse. He who was born of God keeps him, and the evil one does not touch him. We know that we are of God, but the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. See the contrast? Look closely. Verse 18 continues to say, we are kept, and the evil one doesn't even grip us. Touch is a little weak in the translation. It should be lays hold of, grabs, clings to, holds on to. The evil one cannot hold on to the believer. That's why I've said for years, you have nothing to fear when it comes to the evil one. If you're a child of God, you, chapter 4, verse 4 of 1 John says, greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world, and therefore you have nothing to fear. He's a doomed individual, and his days are numbered. He just wants you to take him to where he's going, and that's the lake of fire. But he has no hold on the believer. That's what the verse is saying. We know that we are of God, verse 19. That's not arrogant. That's not bigoted. It's a statement of confidence. Because of Christ, we know that we are of God. And we also know what? That the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. For 4.5 years of my life, I was an assistant pastor to a very godly man, Dwight Pentecost, J. Dwight Pentecost at Grace Bible Church in Dallas. I served there all my 4 years at seminary, but the last 2 years I was on staff, and then for 2.5 more years, he and I were inseparable. We served together, and I lived my life grateful for walking in his shadow, carrying his bags, honoring his name. And it was my pleasure for 6.5 years to sit under his teaching. Superb exposition, explicit use of the text, careful theology, great doctrines. I still remember when he was preaching through 1 John chapter 5, and we got to verse 19. Amazing how certain statements linger in your mind because of who said them. When we got to verse 19, he said, and never forget, beloved, the whole world lies in the lap of the evil one. That is a great way to handle it. You'll notice the words are in italics. The power of appear in italics, meaning they're not in the original text. So the verse says, the whole world lies the evil one. So you have to supply what's there. I think Dr. Pentecost's supply is excellent. The whole world lies in the lap. Had a baby lie in your lap? You have, haven't you? Going to sleep, you pat the little soft skin on the back. You rub that little head. My son calls it his melon. You rub the little melon of this little baby. And you feel that soft skin, his warm body is on your knees, and he's lying there. But this isn't a baby lying in our lap. This is the entire world without Christ, helplessly gripped in the power of the evil one. I deliberately pause because I think the mental image is important in your mind, and I want to give it time to take root. I believe it would revolutionize our witnessing for the Savior if we remembered every day that most of those we meet are in the lap of the evil one. They don't know it. They're blind to that. They don't realize the danger of that. They don't know where their destiny will take them. They just think it's fun just playing around through life. Hey, make the best of it you can. Few pills help, pop the pills. This bottle help, drink a little more. This relationship might add a little pizzazz. Forget your marriage vows. Go after it. Hey, you can only go around once. The lion in the lap of the evil one. I was watching Animal Planet the other night. I love that program. Now, this particular scene was in a swamp. And the python in the swamp was as long as the tollway. Forever. Big as a barrel and ugly, that tongue. And he lives in this gucky, gunky, slimy water, looking for stuff to squeeze. On the banks is a pig. Rooting around, eating little stuff. Out here is the mother of all beasts watching. Coming ever closer to him. And I'm sitting in my chair going, "Move, you idiot! Get out of the way! That snake is gonna get you!" You know you're getting old when you talk to the TV. That pig didn't move. All of a sudden, boom! And that giant starts wrapping around. That pig loses his breakfast, lunch, and supper out of both ends. And he goes, folks, if it took that to make this clear, it's worth it. Because this is a very depressing thought, that the whole world is playing on a shore and doesn't know the snake is there. We got to tell them, or they'll never know. They'll never know. In fact, the one we rely on can break the grip of that snake. And only he can do it. Only he can do it.
Yes, he's our only hope. You're listening to Insight for Living and the final message in Chuck Swindoll's 16-part study in 1 John, called Living Right in a Wrong World. To learn more about this ministry, be sure to visit us online at insightworld.org. Even though this teaching series was originally delivered several years ago, Chuck specifically wanted to present this study in 1 John right now. It shows the timeless relevance of God's Word. These biblical principles provide the cure for a culture that's at war with itself, where rage and anger seem to be overshadowing the underlying threat of the global pandemic. In that spirit, we're pleased to freely offer a powerful two-part mini-series called Finding Healing Through Forgiveness. While not specifically addressing the pandemic, Chuck gets at the root cause and the solution for the chaos in our culture. In his first message, Chuck talks about clearing away the trash we regret. And in his second message, he describes the power of forgiveness. In addition, Chuck's wife Cynthia shares her gripping story about restoring broken relationships and her recovery from a long battle with depression. We invite you to download these two messages today by visiting our website. Simply go to insight.org/findhealing. And if you have any questions, you can call us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888. Perhaps it goes without saying that the coronavirus has imposed financial challenges on us all, including this nonprofit ministry. And we're asking every listener to participate by giving a generous gift. To support this ministry with a one-time donation, give us a phone call. If you're listening in the U.S., dial 1-800-772-8888. or you can also give online at insight.org. And then finally, as we enter the weekend, remember, you're invited to join the online worship service at Stonebriar Community Church this Sunday morning. Thousands of viewers are taking advantage of this unique opportunity to engage in worship and to enjoy the sermon from Chuck Swindoll. For all the details, go to insight.org/Sundays. In 2020, the pandemic has swept into our homes in ways we never imagined. Some have suffered greatly, but all of us have felt the loneliness of a quarantined lifestyle. Through it all, we're grateful that God has used the Bible teaching of Chuck Swindoll to continue uninterrupted by the coronavirus or even through civil unrest.
God's amazing grace is our overarching theme every day on Insight for Living. In fact, it's quite possible that God has used our daily program to extend His grace to you.
Well, these daily visits with Chuck are made possible in part by monthly companions. And we're inviting you to join this influential team of monthly supporters. Sign up today by calling us. If you're listening in the United States, dial 1-800-772-8888.
Please jot down our contact information and follow the Lord's prompting. When you do that, you'll become an elegant bouquet, a sweet fragrance of God's grace, here at home and all around the world.
Become a monthly companion by calling us. If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org/monthly companion. Be sure to join us again Monday when Chuck Swindoll concludes his study in 1 John. That's right here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Absolute Assurance, and the sound recording were copyrighted in 2009 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.